Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Bond prices have been under pressure this week as yields jumped to a 10-month high on a range of factors, including forecasts for better global growth, U.S. tax reforms, and reports some nations could scale back U.S. debt purchases. Things have calmed down a bit, but is more volatility on the way? The BBC's Victoria Craig has been chatting with Allianz Chief Economic Advisor Mohamed Elarian.
There are three factors that have led to a generalized increase in yields on government bonds this year. The first is the recognition that the synchronized global pickup in growth is accelerating. Second, the recognition that on the demand side, there will be a reduction in central bank purchases of securities. And then third, on the supply side, with the passage of the tax bill in the United States, a recognition that there will be more supply. So put these three things together, and they've led to an increase in yield. However, it's important to stress it has been a relatively orderly process, and yields are still low. And there's two explanations for that. Inflation is well behaved. And there's still a lot of technical demand for government bonds despite the low yields. So it is higher yields, but it's not a situation that is likely to become disorderly. While inflation is likely to creep up, there will be no surge in inflationary pressures. Second, we still are in a very low volatility environment. Last year was extremely unusual in terms of how little volatility occurred in the financial markets, despite all that was going on in the economy, politics, geopolitics. So yes, we should expect some increase in volatility, but it will be taking us back towards historic norms rather than be a disorderly process.
Do we need to see bond yields go back down at this point?
So I don't see any sharp drop in yields happening because I believe that the synchronized pickup in growth has legs to it. Particularly given that there are still more policy actions that can deliver higher growth and they are on the radar screens of policymakers. I also don't think that we are going to have any major disruptions in terms of a Fed policy mistake. But if you ask what is the biggest risk, if you ask what markets call the balance of risk, it is that yields go up much faster than it is that yields collapse. Why? Because we may go through something we've never experienced before, which is that four systemically important central banks normalize their monetary policy at the same time. One has been doing it, the Fed, and has been doing what I call the beautiful normalization. What is uncertain is what happens if four of them decide to do it at the same time. I think that is the major risk to yields on the upside. But the baseline is for slightly higher yields, but not in a disorderly fashion.
What's the risk that actually happens?
So we got signals this week that at the ECB's policy meeting in December, there are already quite a few people suggesting that the ECB should be signaling more aggressively that it will be reducing its stimulus. And we should expect that in the next few months, that the ECB will say that the recovery in Europe is taking shape well, and that the ECB will be looking to ease its foot off the accelerator. I want to stress, this is not about slamming on the brakes. This is about easing the ECB's foot off the accelerator. Less likely for the Bank of Japan and less likely for the People's Bank of China.
So many people have been using this week's action to call the end of the bull market in bonds. But what does this mean more broadly for the global economy? What is it signaling?
I think what you're seeing is that whenever there is some disruptions in markets, people look immediately to the restoration of old themes. And that is because we have been in a very unusual market cycle. I don't remember the last time where we've had the following three things happen in one year. Very strong returns on stocks. If you look at the world index, it was up more than 20%. Despite that, bonds did relatively well. They generated positive returns. usually when stocks go up a lot, you expect bond markets, the risk-free asset, to see that prices come down. That didn't happen. Both prices went up. And then thirdly, we couple that with one of the very lowest years, if not the lowest years, in terms of financial volatility. That is a very unusual combination. And what you sense in the marketplace is this desire to go back to something more normal. And that's why whenever we have a small disruption, people immediately jump to declaring all sorts of things. But we still remain in a rather unusual period because of the involvement of central banks.
What implications, if any, does potential instability in bonds have for other markets like stocks or housing or other governments looking to borrow?
So interest rates are a major, major price in the economy. Lots of things are priced off interest rates because people discount the future, whether it's stock prices that discount the whole stream of cash flows or other things in terms of debt. You know, your debt sustainability depends on where interest rates are. So interest rates play a major role. If it is an orderly, gradual rise in rates, which is what I expect, it will not disrupt debt sustainability. It will not disrupt the stock market in a major way. So it's not as much whether you get some movement as whether the process is orderly or not.